Shop local with Hill Country Patriot Advertisers.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will bring it to a whisper. For the next hour, sit quietly and we shall control all that you hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
And now, it's time for the radio show that covers just about every topic. Because variety is the spice of life. From the arcane and unusual to current events and practical tips. Because if it's interesting, they'll be talking about it. And now here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Good morning.
Hey.
And your microphone is turned on.
Well, thank you, Allison. I appreciate that. As a good engineer, Allison's the engineer here.
Mm-hmm. The engineer has an awful lot to do.
You betcha.
So I don't understand why the person who is on the air is the talent, or is the engineer who's behind the scenes is doing the bulk of the work.
The engineer. That's what they say in radio. For some reason, the person on the air is the talent. Although most radio stations, the talent also is the engineer. Mm-hmm. So I'm very fortunate.
Except, you know, really huge stations. You know, like if you're Sean Hannity, you have an engineer.
Yeah, I can't remember a station that I ever worked for, even small ones, that didn't have an engineer. Of course, they weren't that small, I guess. I don't know. Well, no, that's not true. And I don't know
Well, the person who does what I'm doing is the engineer.
I don't know. I wouldn't say that it's just small stations that don't have their own engineers. A lot of stations have their own engineers. And, you know, here at the Hill Country Patriot, for example, we have engineers that work with the talent. But we're not a small station either. We cover the entire Hill Country. Mm-hmm. And we are your information station. Well, I'm Bill, and that's Allison. And as Harley said, and we're sometimes wrong.
But we're always right.
Always right. Fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice.
And the American way.
The American way. We're never PC. We are proudly PI.
Politically incorrect.
Exactly. But most importantly, we strive to be BC, which is, of course, biblically correct, right, mm-hmm. Allison?
That's right.
I'm a native Texan from the Panhandle, originally, and Dalhart, and Allison is?
Native American.
A Native American.
From Ohio.
From Ohio. Well, you were born in America. I was born in Texas. What can I say? But you're also part Chickasaw.
I am.
And we
my tribe is headquartered in Ada, Oklahoma. Hmm.
Part of the Trail of Tears from Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a trigger warning for you. Allison and I identify as non-binary. We are non-binary. So we're working on our personal pronouns. We keep changing them. So.
Well, I identify as a conspiracy theorist.
Are you?
Okay. I have three pronouns. Told you so.
Okay. Yeah, it's tough to... tough to be a conspiracy theorist these days because they all keep coming true. No, I had a friend who said people either believe in two theories of history. One is the conspiracy theory of history, and the other is the coincidence theory. Our verse for this morning is quite simple but extremely profound. And think about what's going on in the world today and the United States today. It's from Isaiah chapter 5. Woe unto those who call good evil and evil good. Woe unto those who call good evil and evil good. And think about all those things you can apply them to in the world today. And we'll be talking about some of those things today, along with events in the Hill Country that you and your family want to be part of. That's coming up a little bit later in the show. But this morning, at the moment, I want to talk about some of the big stories in the news.
Okay. Well, here's a big story.
Okay.
This coming week, or I think we just passed it, National Whiskey Sour Day.
Okay.
And there's also National Banana Split Day.
You know, I never got banana splits. I mean,
I know, I don't like whipped cream on ice cream.
Well, I don't get bananas and ice cream. They just don't fit to me. I mean, I like bananas and I like ice cream, but they don't do anything for each other. Unless you have banana ice cream, I guess. But still in all, anyway, I've never quite understood banana splits. But a lot of people do.
And then a cherry on top.
And, yeah, that, really. And a bunch of whipped cream, banana, and ice cream, and that's it, I guess. Right? Or some sauce.
Chocolate.
Chocolate, or sometimes they put caramel and chocolate on one end and all that. Anyway. All right, well, it's National Banana Split Day, so go out and celebrate if you are of mind to. I'm sure by now everybody's seen President Trump's mugshot. Right?
Mm-hmm. I have.
Yeah, of course. Everybody. I think pretty much everybody has seen it by now. And the very left-wing Atlantic magazine columnist said, her name is Megan Garber, she said that was a huge mistake for the left to allow mugshot to be taken of Donald Trump. She said, quote, Donald Trump's booking photo was supposed to be an exercise in humility. He turned it into a threat. Even as Trump was held to account, even as he was in theory brought low, he was elevated. She said, mugshots are meant to be exercises in enforced humility, but somehow, she cried, Trump's mugshot turned, quote, turned into a display of ongoing power. And of course, he's raising a lot of money on that mugshot. He's going to make a lot of money on putting that mugshot, selling t-shirts and coffee mugs, mugshots, of all sorts of, because he raised a lot of money for his presidential campaign through that. It was a huge mistake for them to take a mugshot of him. The left always overplays their hands, and that's what they're doing in this case. But it was just absolutely, we are turning into a banana split republic. It is shameful. It is absolutely shameful. Our nation is divided. You might say we're split down the middle. I'll give up on that one. Oh, my.
Okay, Bill, I'm just asking.
What are you asking, Allison?
How many countries tax their citizens so they can send money to the U.S.?
How many countries tax their citizens so they can send money to the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me...
Well, the point being, the United States taxes its citizens, you and me and our listeners, so we can send money to Ukraine or, you know, all sorts of other foreign countries.
Yeah, I haven't tallied the number of foreign countries we send money to, but I'll bet it's in the hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, Senator John Kennedy, now that you mention it, from Louisiana, Republican from Louisiana, said the other day that, he says, I don't know why we're sending all this money to foreign countries. He said, when they could just hate us for free. He's great, isn't he? Well, I don't know how many of you were among the 15 people nationally who watched the Republican debate.
We did.
We were among the 15. Well, we figured we could watch the Trump-Tucker thing later in reruns.
It was recorded.
Yeah, of course it was. So we thought it would be fun to watch the debate, even though none of these guys will likely be the Republican nominee. But I always like stuff like, and it was pretty fiery, wasn't it? I was surprised. Mm-hmm. I figured it'd be kind of dull.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
It was fiery because if Vivek Ramaswamy, if you don't know that name, you will, who is...
maybe he could be Trump's vice president.
Well, people are saying that. But Vivek Ramaswamy, who is beating DeSantis, believe it or not, in many polls as the number one contender for the Republican nomination, and despite a lot of people don't know who he is or never heard of him, well, he was a clear winner of this debate.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he hadn't been there, the debate would have been boring. It would have been a discussion among a bunch of deep staters, you know, with DeSantis as an exception.
I was going to say, Florida is not a deep state.
No.
I guess physically it is.
No, I mean, well, yeah, no, but what I said, with the exception of DeSantis, it would have been just a back and forth, friendly back and forth between deep staters. But with DeSantis was surprisingly low energy. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised. I think he was over rehearsed. I really do.
Mm.
And Vivek Ramaswamy was dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
When he was asked, who of you would support President Trump if convicted, and he was still a Republican nominee, and Vivek's arm shot straight up,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of them kind of looked around and kind of hesitantly put their arms up.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, DeSantis was on camera looking around to see who put their hands up and who didn't put their hands up before he kind of put his hand up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really embarrassing for DeSantis, mm-hmm. a real gaffe. But Ramaswamy was, I thought, was really great.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
Dynamic, and he got more energy than anybody else up there. He had a physical presence that was commanding. He had command of the issues. And again, when they asked the moderators, Brett Baer and Martha McCallum, asked, who of you would support ending U.S. aid to Ukraine right now? Vivek immediately raised his hand, and he was the only one, I believe, am I right, on stage?
I shouldn't say that.
Maybe DeSantis did. I'll have to go back and look.
I don't remember.
But the rest of them, they're all pro, let's dump more money in Ukraine.
Yeah.
While Maui is burning,
yeah.
children immolated. We have no idea how many are dead, but let's send more money to Ukraine. So Vivek Ramaswamy, looking good, I'll tell you.
And my question is, why is Asa Hutchinson in the race?
Well, why is Doug Burgum in the race?
Well, it's that
you know,
too.
It's you know, I think those guys are vying for a cabinet position.
Mm, okay.
You know, they're running for the cabinet.
Okay.
Doug Burgum is the governor of North Dakota. He did about as well as the governor of North Dakota could, put it that way. I mean, he seemed like a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about his rural upbringing and how he grew up in a town of 300 people where he said, you know, most of my jobs were those where you shower when you come home, not in the morning. it's a hardworking guy. And I liked him. I have no reason to dislike him. But that's the problem. No reason to like him particularly. No reason mm-hmm. to dislike him. He's okay. Mike Pence is a horrible disappointment. Used to like Mike Pence.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. Chris Christie is a thug. He was governor of New Jersey. You can't be governor of New Jersey without being a thug. And he is. Trump appointed him as, what was it, chief of staff or something at some point? Anyway, he was...
I don't remember what...
Yeah, of course, he didn't think Trump was a bad guy when he gave him a job.
Yeah.
But now he's Trump's number one critic.
Yeah.
His number one anti-Trump guy is, him and Asa Hutchinson, the governor of Arkansas.
Is he currently governor?
I don't know. I was afraid you'd ask me that. No, he's not. Now that you mention it, no, he's not. Don't you know who the governor of Arkansas is, Allison? I'm ashamed of you. Of course, I didn't know either, but until I thought of it.
Oh, you're right.
Sarah Huckabee.
Oh, that's right. Sarah Huckabee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Much
okay.
better than Asa Hutchinson. She ought to be running for president.
Yeah.
But and then there was Nikki Haley.
She was horrible.
She was. She was. She kept interrupting people constantly. The moderators would say, Governor Haley, because she used to be the governor of South Carolina, Governor Haley, would you please stop and let the other person talk? She totally ignored them. Totally ignored. I said to Allison, they ought to cut her microphone off.
Mm-hmm.
And she was shrill.
Mm-hmm.
And
the moderators didn't have control.
No, they didn't. They didn't do a good
I mean,
job.
This wasn't really a debate.
It's never a debate. It's a
right.
discussion. And they call it a debate. It's not a debate at all. Vivek Ramaswamy, again, really had a great line against Nikki when she was arguing for, that we ought to just send 100% of our income, of each person's income, to Ukraine, basically. Vivek said... he said, enjoy your board seat on Raytheon and Boeing. And she's, I'm not on Raytheon. Oh, man, it was hilarious. But she's actually on the board of Boeing, and she's made hundreds of thousands of dollars showing up at a meeting every few months. for Boeing. And then, of course, Boeing wants their pound of flesh, and she's happy to give it, apparently. So let's see. That was, I don't know if I missed anybody or not, but that was the lineup for the Republican debate. But here are some questions that were not asked. How about a question about inflation? There was no, they talked about the economy, but there was no question about inflation. Inflation is a top concern in poll after poll. It's considered an important issue for 96% of American adults, and that shouldn't surprise anybody. So, but there are no question specifically about what would you do about inflation. There was no question about crime. No question about crime. There were no questions about mortgage rates. Okay, the top issues. Market Watch did a poll before the Republican so-called debate. What economic issues do you hope to hear about during the first GOP debate? Inflation, far number one, 62%. Mortgage rates, number two. No questions about mortgage rates. Number three, Social Security. No questions about Social Security. Child care costs. No questions about Social Security.
Or child care costs.
Is that what I said? Child care?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. School shootings. No questions about that. The destruction of Democrat cities around the country. No questions about that. Gas prices. Food prices. No questions about that. Okay. Ukraine came up 23 times. Trump came up a bunch of times. So I said there's no questions about inflation or mortgage rates or Social Security or et cetera. You know what there was a question about? UFOs. Yeah.
Well, that's a thing now.
It ain't a thing to most Americans.
Our government, the price of gas, our government is now admitting that there are UFOs.
Yeah, well, the price of gas, my point is the price of gas and food is a little higher concern than UFOs, but that's what Fox News decided to focus on in the very last question of the debate was about UFOs. Really? Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. I must have been nodding off by then.
Yeah, you didn't hear that one? Yeah, I mean, it was asked of Chris Christie, and to his credit, which is rare for me, Chris Christie said, laughed, and he said, "You're really asking me about Martians?" Yeah. Yeah, that was the so-called Republican debate. In case you missed it, there's a little thumbnail of it. Some have said, down through history, if you like. And we are Bill and Allison Mancaro. We're going to be back after a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, are we looking at full COVID restrictions coming down the line?
We're going to talk about the fires in Maui.
And the fires in Maui. We'll be back after a very short break.
Well, I come from down round Tennessee, but the people in California are nice to me, America. It don't matter where I may roam, tell you people that it's home sweet home, America, America. And my brothers are all black and white, yellow too. And the red man is right to expect a little from you. Promise and then follow through, America. All the men who fell on the plains and who lived through hardship and could not fight in a war that didn't seem right. You let them come home, America.
Well, welcome back. I mentioned that we were going to be talking about the fires in Maui. The question is, how did the fire start? Maui is suing Hawaiian Electric over the fires because they claim that the utility caused the fires that have killed over 100 people so far and destroyed the historic town of Lahaina. The suit claims that the Hawaiian Electric negligently left power flowing amid high winds and dry conditions and failed to properly maintain the grid, leading to the fires. It's the latest of several lawsuits over the company's alleged role in the tragedy, and its liabilities could be in the multi-billions. Our experience, I mean, what they're saying is they left the power lines live. And that must be a United States thing, because we discovered when we were in Mexico several years ago, there was a storm coming. I don't know whether it was a hurricane or what, but what they do in Mexico, where they have a lot of flooding and storms, they preemptively turn off the power.
I think they do that in the U.S. too, for hurricanes and things like
really?
That.
Really? Mm-hmm. As a result, there aren't potentially live power lines in standing water.
Yeah, we're not stupid. We turn off the power.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. President Biden said that he would visit Hawaii as soon as he could to survey the devastation. He did visit, and he fell asleep at a press conference.
Yeah. And then he also commented, tried to joke about how hot the ground was.
Tried to
make jokes.
Oh, and the other joke that he made was that his house almost burned to the ground, and he
wasn't a joke.
Potentially lost. Yes, yes.
No, he wasn't trying to make a joke.
He potentially saved the life of his wife and his cat and his 67 Corvette, which was in the garage. But as it turns out, yeah, they had a fire. It was a little tiny kitchen fire.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the fire chief said it was out in about 20 minutes and no big deal. But according to Joe, that he said Joe Biden said his wife almost lost her life in this kitchen fire, and their cat in his 67 Corvette was in danger. And that's how he could relate to people whose children were immolated without warning because he had a kitchen fire once and... it was, you know, he didn't, you know, he was upset about it. But he's the same guy who told grieving parents who lost their children, their sons and daughters in Afghanistan when they came back in body bags. He said, I had to see my son Bo come back in a body bag as well, so I can relate to you. Which was a damnable lie. His son died of cancer in a hospital. This guy has no morals.
Mm-hmm.
No morals. Don't get me started.
Well, the fire in Maui has been handled horribly, absolutely horribly by all the officials. The people were not given warning. And as we saw, personal experience, there are sirens every, few hundred feet all over Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
All the different islands. And when we were first there, we asked our landlord, we were renting the house from, what they were for. And he said, oh, those are tsunami sirens. And he said, I've lived here 25 years. I've never heard one go off. And fortunately, he warned us because at 5:30 the next morning, the sirens started going off. Apparently, there was threat of a tsunami. But what I have read is that those sirens can be used for anything.
Except the fire.
Yeah, exactly. And their excuse was...
They didn't turn on the sirens.
Yeah, they did not turn on the sirens. The officials say, we sent out phone messages. And when they were asked why they didn't use the sirens, because they were afraid that the people would run into the fire. I mean, they... think that people are that stupid. What we did when we were in Hawaii and the sirens came on, the first thing you do is you turn on your TV to find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat glued to the TV for hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As it was, we were the island of Oahu, which is where we were, was hit by a tsunami, and the tide rose about, what was it, 4 inches?
3 or 4 inches, yeah.
Yeah, they had
they couldn't predict. So, you know, they were warning.
Yeah, but they were warning. What happened to us personally here in Hill Country, which is, often have a high threat of wildfires, a deputy came and knocked on our door one day. And we lived behind a locked gate. But he managed to get over our gate and knocked on our door and warned us that we might have to evacuate. Fortunately, we did not.
That's correct.
And another thing, in Maui, water was not poured on the fires, because officials said they had to check with farmers first. That's their excuse.
Who were irrigating their fields. And
yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we might kill some of your crop.
Yeah.
So we can't do that.
Okay.
What a clown show that was.
Oh, really? And the U.S. Border Patrol Agency sent an email not reflecting the agency's rescue and recovery efforts in Maui, but instead honoring National Chest Feeding Month.
I'm sorry, what?
National Chest Feeding Month.
Chest feeding?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
What is that?
It's for men who don't have breasts. So we don't want to discriminate against them by calling it breastfeeding. So we call it chest feeding.
Oh, these are guys who take medications to lactate,
mm-hmm.
so they can supposedly mm-hmm. nurse a baby, which mm-hmm. people say is very dangerous. The so-called milk produced by drugs to make you lactate mm-hmm. has nothing to do with mother's milk, and yet you're feeding it to an infant.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the Forest Service put out?
The U.S. Border Patrol Agency.
Hmm.
And also, there was no flag.
What does the U.S. Border Patrol Agency have to do with chest feeding?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's because our whole government is crazy.
Yeah. And also, there was no flag lowering for the firefighting efforts.
No.
But instead, they concentrated on
chest feeding.
Chest feeding.
Good Lord. Actually, I've got something more to say about that. It's insanity. Let's first, though, talk about, since you talked about the power grid, I want to make this point. The other day, I got curious and looked up the members of ERCOT, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas. And they're the people that run the grid in Texas. You know, there are three main power grids in the country. One that serves the east coast, the eastern part of the country, and one that serves the country west of the Mississippi, and one that serves Texas. So Texas has its own power grid, and ERCOT runs the power grid, and they, of course, got into great criticism for a couple of years ago during our deep freeze.
Deservedly.
Yeah, because it never occurred to them that wind turbines would freeze up. But they did.
Well, and this is the same ERCOT that warned us this past Thursday to make sure we have our cell phones charged in case of a rolling blackout, because there's not enough wind to keep our grid running. How about that? It's 105 degrees, and they expect the winds to blow?
Well, you can't blame ERCOT for that, Allison. Nobody told them that the wind doesn't blow when it's that hot.
You can't
blame ERCOT.
You're right.
Sakes.
You're right.
Well, I looked up the members of the board of directors of ERCOT, and
that's right. I knew you were going to do that.
I did that. I did that. And the chair.
I didn't know what you found.
The chair of reliability of the Reliability and Markets Committee is Robert Flexon. I thought he has an interesting background. He's from California. Saying.
Does he live in Texas now?
Lives in Texas now. At least that's his official residence. And you look at his background a little bit. He's chairman of the PG&E Board of Directors. Do you hear that, Allison?
Pacific Gas and Electric.
He is currently, according
Pacific
to...
Pacific Gas and Electric.
Mm-hmm. California.
Mm-hmm.
According to, at 7:22 p.m. on the ERCOT website, the Board of Directors, 7:22, let's see, that was last night that I looked it up. Mr. Flexon currently serves as chair of the Pacific Gas and Electric Board of Directors. Now, that's a company that's not in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They're in California.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he came from. But how can you be chairman of the Pacific Gas and Electric Board of Directors and live in Texas?
Hmm.
Okay.
Good point.
But he is chairman of the reliability committee of ERCOT, the reliability, to make sure that the grid keeps running, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's also currently chair. I'm reading what it says. I don't agree with this chair stuff. But anyway, that's what it says. Chairman of Capstone Green Energy. Okay. He was formerly, it's president and CEO of Dynegy Inc. Dynegy, D-Y-N-E-G-Y. He started with them as president and CEO of 2011. In 2012, they went bankrupt. And it says he served through 2018 when he sold the company for $1.7 billion.
Wow. Which brings up a point. These positions on ERCOT, the ERCOT board, are they paid positions?
I do not know. You always ask me questions I don't know. Why don't you look that up and let us know this week? They are they're political payoffs. If you look at each one of the board of directors, they're part of the corporate elite. A lot of them run private equity firms. Things like you have to have $1 million to even walk in the door to make an investment with them. Energy lobbyists, former government officials, you know, the revolving door between government and business. We heard a lot about when we both worked in Capitol mm-hmm. Hill. You work in government for a while and then you get in the revolving door and you become a lobbyist for the very members of Congress that you worked for and that you knew, senators. So they're basically all political appointees. So that's what you got running ERCOT. So I thought you'd be interested in that. I thought it was interesting, and I don't know that people look into the background of the board of directors of ERCOT, but you should. Just go to ERCOT.com and you can check it out. Well, when we come back, this, by the way, is a Texas official Texas state song. When we come back, we're going to ask you if you've heard about the possibility that the Biden administration is bringing back full COVID restrictions. That's a story you're not going to want to miss.
Oh, empire wide and glorious, you stand supremely blessed. Texas, oh, Texas, your freeborn single star sends out its radiance to nations near and far. Emblem of freedom, it sets our hearts aglow with thoughts of San Jacinto and glorious Alamo. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and word throughout the ages long. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and word throughout the ages long.
Do you want to sing? Do you know the words?
No, I don't.
I don't think it has words.
Oh, well, thank you. So he's a trap.
Yes, it was.
Gee.
I mean, seriously.
Well, we got some breaking news for you. Whistleblowers from the TSA, Transportation Security Administration, and the Border Patrol are saying that the Biden administration is setting the stage for full COVID lockdowns starting mid-September. It'll start incrementally, like masking TSA employees. There was a meeting last Tuesday in which TSA managers were told policies were being completed that would re-implement masking, starting with TSA and airport employees as early as mid-next month, September. The TSA whistleblower said next week they will receive new guidelines on how the policy will escalate. By mid-October, he said, mask wearing will be required by pilots, flight staff, passengers, and airport patrons. Another whistleblower from the Border Patrol confirmed the same directives were given to Border Patrol. They were told it's not a matter of if, but when. When official COVID numbers will go back up, of course, official COVID numbers are by the government, so they can say whatever they want. And they expect by mid-October a return to forced masking policies that the Biden administration previously only reluctantly ended after massive pressures. So this new timing for a massive lockdown rollout is perfect for the Biden administration because they're getting it from all sides. They're going to put, you know, change the subject. When you're a politician, you're under attack, change the subject. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to put the country back in a state of civil emergency and even possibly martial law to further divide and confuse the public and move forward with the greatest election meddling in history. Remember, this new crisis next month, if the whistleblowers are correct, it'll allow a buildup of control that will allow the use of mail-in ballots for the next presidential election. And mail-in ballots, many of them fraudulent, were decisive for Biden's victory in the last election. Oh boy, if I say that, I might get indicted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically the deep state's getting desperate and it's behaving like a cornered animal, saying we got to bring back the lockdowns because we're losing. We're going to lose the presidential election and the congressional elections. So we got to bring back the lockdowns and have mail-in ballots and force people to stay home and bankrupt the country so that we can take more control over it. That's what you got going.
You know, that's totally fake because if...
What's totally
if
fake?
If people... The,
what I just
the,
read
the,
is totally fake.
No. The need for masking. I mean, if you're afraid and you think you might get sick, wear a mask. But don't make me wear one.
Yeah. I remember when masks were, you know, all the rage, as they say. I was at HEB and I didn't wear a mask. I know it's as you've probably heard, it's like putting up a chain link fence to keep out mosquitoes. And I wasn't worried about it. In fact, I had what they call COVID anyway, so I was, you know, had natural immunity. And every so often, being in the grocery store, being basically the only one not masked up, and HEB did not throw me out or jump on me for not wearing a mask. But every so often, somebody's, wear your mask, wear your mask. And basically my answer is, well, you got a mask on, what are you worried about?
Mm-hmm.
If you think a mask protects you, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
No, it is a crazy world that we live in. And here's some more craziness.
You're stupid. Really, really stupid. You're stupid. Really, really stupid.
Well, we have two, Alice and I have two friends who are both MDs, married couple, good friends of ours. And we had a conversation with them about masks. And they said, well, why don't you tell the story, Alice? And you know it as well as I do.
Well, what they said was these, you know, cloth masks that people are wearing are pointless.
Buy a Dollar General.
Yeah, you buy a, you know, 100 pack for, you know, $2. They said they're pointless, and as Bill said, they're both medical doctors, and they said we have to get fitted for our masks. I mean, that's how important it is that the mask, an N95.
This is what they wear in the hospital.
Yeah, it's what they wear in hospitals, and it's so important that it be fit, that it fit correctly, that they have to go in once a year to be refitted, because, you know, your face changes, and it needs a tight fit.
What do you want to describe how they're fitted?
Oh, why don't you do that? I'd forgotten about that.
They go into a chamber, an airtight chamber, with a mask on that's already been fitted to their face, and a harmless gas is released inside the chamber. It's harmless. The only purpose of the gas, and they can still breathe normally, and it's not going to suffocate them or anything. The only purpose of the gas is it has a very strong, obnoxious odor. And you cannot help but react to it if you can smell it. And they watch to see if the person's if the person in there with the mask is reacting to the smell. If they are not reacting to the smell, the mask is fitting as it should. If they do react to the smell, the mask is readjusted, and they don't let them out of there. I mean, they don't let them out of the place they're fitting the mask until that mask is fitted properly. That's how they did it. That's how our physician friend said that they have to do that every year in the hospital to have their mask readjusted. So, you know, buying a mask at Dollar General or wherever is just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. It's not going to help you at all. And so it'll be an interesting thing. We may do our show from prison if the mask mandates come back. I don't know. It's just another sign of the times. We live in crazy times. You know, if a guy pretends to be a woman, you're required to pretend with him.
And have National Chest Feeding Month.
National Border Patrol announces their support of National Chest Feeding Month for men who think they're women and want to take lactating drugs. Somehow it's un-American for the census to count how many Americans are in America. It's true. Russians influencing our elections are bad, but illegals voting in our elections, that's good. That's a good thing. It was cool for Vice President Joe Biden to blackmail the president of Ukraine, but it was terrible for Donald Trump to point that out. 20 is too young to drink a beer, but 18 is old enough to vote, and 3 is old enough to decide you're a different sex. People who've never owned slaves should pay slavery reparations to people who've never been slaves. These are just some signs of the times we live in. People who have never been to college should pay the debts of college students who took out huge loans to get their degrees. Immigrants with tuberculosis, measles, polio, COVID are welcome, but you better be able to prove your dog is vaccinated. Irish doctors and German engineers who want to immigrate to the U.S. must go through a rigorous vetting process, but any illiterate gangbanger or terrorist who jumps the southern fence is welcome. Don't even have to jump the southern fence, just walk right through now.
Mm-hmm. Or swim, or wade, actually.
$5 billion for border security is too expensive. Remember when Trump wanted $5 billion to build the wall and Congress said no? But we can spend $40 billion and send it to Ukraine.
Wow.
If you cheat to get into college, you go to prison. But if you cheat to get in the country, you go to college for free. If you cheat in an election, nothing happens to you. But if you point out the mathematical errors of that election, you get indicted. People who say there's no such thing as gender demanding a female president. How does that work? we see every other country virtually around the world going socialist and collapsing, but it's a great plan for us. Yeah. Some people are held responsible for things that happened before they were born, and other people are not held responsible for what they're doing right now. Criminals are caught and released to hurt more people, but stopping them is bad because it's a violation of their rights. You know? And there's the whole Afghanistan humiliation, arming the Taliban and China, giving them the most sophisticated weaponry, just leaving it there in Afghanistan, the most sophisticated air base in the world, leaving it there for the Taliban and then the Chinese. The whole vaccine thing, the endless COVID variants, election cheating, our out-to-lunch presidents, violence in the cities, defunding the police, confiscating guns while arming terrorists, and pointing out all this hypocrisy somehow makes you a racist. We started the hour with a verse from Isaiah. And I'm going to end this hour with a verse from Isaiah. We will be back right after the news. Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil. And what that list of what I just read is exactly what the Lord is saying in the Bible. Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil.
And we'll be right back.
Back with events going on in the Hill Country that you need to know about this weekend. Stay tuned.
Well, you know, you're talking about the heat, and it's really important that you keep your pets safe. One very, very important thing is never leave your pet in a car, parked car. Never. Even if it's still running and the air conditioning is on, do not leave them alone. Also, let's say, don't exercise them on days when it's really, really hot. Make sure you provide plenty of shade and water. And as far as water, we have this very cool little device that we have on our hose. And our cat is a stray cat who has adopted us. So we found this little thing, probably at Gibson's. It goes on with the hose, the water hose. And your hose is still operable, but the water is constantly dripping into this little bowl for the mm-hmm. animal.
Yeah, it has a flow system that notes when it needs more water and automatically puts the water on. So you leave mm-hmm. your water turned on. It doesn't have to be full blast, just turned on slightly, just to keep the bowl full of water. You should clean it out every once in a while. But mm-hmm. Other than that, it keeps water for them.
Fresh water.
Absolutely, fresh water. So, well, I'm glad you brought that up, Allison. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I was listening to Dan Bongino the other day, and I thought he had an excellent little story. It's a very sad story, given the times we live in, but he had some excellent points. And if this ever happens to you, he suggests how you should deal with it. And don't think it couldn't happen to you, because it certainly could. Here's Dan Bongino.
A guy's Ring doorbell system catches this interaction on video. It's an ATF agent, according to some of the reports out there. Knocks on his door and strangely doesn't accuse him of a crime. Starts asking him about a couple firearms he just bought. How did they know that? Oh, the background check system I've been telling you about?
Yeah. Okay, all I'm doing is verifying that. Look. Verifying that you have it. You got two different purchases. Okay. If you have them, I'm out of here. That's how quick it is. Yeah. You have them with you by any chance? Are they? If you can unload them and bring them out, or you can go out to your foyer here, check them out, by number, serial number, and we're out of here.
That's it?
Yep.
That's it. It'll take 5 seconds.
The reason we're out here is we're obviously gun violence. It's been an uptick, so we want to make sure we've been having a lot of issues with straw purchases. So one of the things we indicators that we get is somebody makes a large gun purchase. And then a lot of times we've been there like, oh, those guns got taken. We're like, the idea is when you purchase more than two guns at a time, it generates a multiple sale report. And it comes to us and we have to check them out. Okay. That's all that is. You did nothing wrong. Did absolutely zero. I noticed that you were stopped in Philly, though, right? With one of your guns?
Gosh, I'm going to vomit right now. The left doesn't care about background checks. Yeah, they do, Dan. They fight for all the time. They don't. That's not the point. It's a proxy fight. The background check is a proxy for a list. Criminals don't go through background checks. What are you, an idiot on the left? Are you idiots? You think a criminal who goes to buy a firearm to commit a murder is going through a background check? He buys it on the street, you dunce. So why would you want a background check knowing it's not going to stop any criminal? Because you want a list. Notice what the alleged ATF agent says. Hey, there's been a gun violence uptick in the area. We're just checking in. Listen, all due respect, you got a warrant? Thank you. Have a nice day. No, I'm serious. Have a good day now. Respectfully, have a nice day. Thanks for doing your job or whatever, but I don't do that. By the way, I don't know why they're taking part in this kind of stuff either. It's obvious what's going on. You take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States that gives that citizen you're knocking on the door the right to bear arms. But if that guy did nothing wrong and this is just some checkup, I didn't see that in the Constitution, the checkup on the right to bear arms section. I missed it.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. Push as far as they can and hope that the citizens aren't aware of their rights is what it boils down to. Well, speaking about not being aware of your rights, there's a man who is aware of his rights, and he still got. Of course, it's another country, but they try these things out. The powers that be behind the scenes, and they ain't Joe Biden, and they ain't a lot of people that we might think are in power. This is a story out of Norway. A man named Trond Holland, H-A-A-L-A-N-D. He doesn't think like most people in Norway. He's concerned about things like the World Economic Forum. He thinks man-made climate change is a fraud. He's concerned about vaccine passports. He's posted a lot about the excess death rates we've been seeing after the rollout of the so-called COVID vaccine. In other words, he doesn't believe the mainstream media narrative. He thinks for himself. And he's been actively criticizing the Norwegian health system for what happened during the pandemic. Well, someone anonymously reported him to the police for being mentally unstable. Anonymously reported him to the police for being mentally unstable. And we don't know who it was. It was anonymous. Could be some Antifa extremist. Who knows? We don't know. So the police contacted the health system because he had also sent a letter to a doctor that he knew to demand a stop to COVID vaccination of children as young as 5 years old. So the police got this anonymous tip, and they contacted the health system. Well, that was all that was needed for two alleged healthcare workers, together with two uniformed police officers, to arrive at Mr. Halen's door, forcibly haul him away, and lock him up in a psychiatric ward. Now, why'd they do that? Well, they said right out, because he has been posting conspiracy theories on Facebook. You know, like talking about the COVID jabs and excess deaths and Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and doesn't believe in man-made climate change. So he's hauled off to a psychiatric ward. The senior doctor on his case had this to say, quote, "When he's healthy and stable, he doesn't post. He's not interested in these topics like climate skepticism and COVID, among other things. It is not normal behavior that he is now displaying, considering how he is when he's healthy. He's still secretive and suspicious." In other words, according to the doctor, the man is not healthy when he's posting about things like stopping children from getting the COVID jab and not believing in the official narrative about climate change. Now, how does the doctor know that? Did he read his Facebook post? No! The doctor didn't even have a Facebook account. He just heard from an anonymous source that, oh, this guy's believing in conspiracy theories. So the police showed up at his door on the 19th of July, this past July, to drag him away. Drag him away. Mr. Halen. He wasn't allowed to go outside and get fresh air. There was a meeting that he had with his doctor, and he wanted his lawyer there. They didn't allow it. Now, this is happening in Norway, but we thought Norway was a democracy. So here's what happened. A little summary. Mr. Halen posted things critical of the mainstream narrative on social media. Somebody anonymous reports him to the police. The police report him to the health system. Two healthcare so-called workers and two police officers arrive at his door the same day he posted about government surveillance. Isn't that interesting? They drag him away and forcibly lock him up. He's not allowed fresh air. He's not allowed to have his lawyer present in a meeting. He was held for 9 days, finally let go after a jury. He had to sue. The jury said there was no justification for forcibly locking him up. If they can do it to him, they can do it to you. I mean, if you remember or read about in the Soviet Union, they pursued people who disagreed with government positions on all sorts of different things, and locked them up in psychiatric hospitals after, quote, health experts had decided their political opinions meant they were mentally unstable. See, that's a common way for communists to lock up people who oppose the regime. And here in Norway, it's happening again. This man was locked in a psychiatric ward for 9 days for the crime of posting political opinions that went against the mainstream narrative. You don't think it can happen here? You don't think it can happen here? Of course it can. The only thing that prevents it from happening here is they're afraid of us. They're afraid of massive resistance. Do the American people have the cojones to stand up to something like that? I don't know.
I don't think so.
When I read that 9% of military age eligible people, only 9% can qualify to be in the military. The rest have some so-called psychiatric problem or physical, they're overweight or whatever it is. You know, are they going to stand up to the government? Because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take us saying, no, no, I will not comply. And they can't put us all in jail.
Like this upcoming new mask mandate.
Yeah. I will not comply. I refuse to comply. They can't put us all in jail. They can't put us all in jail for their crazy rules that have no basis in reality. There you go.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Do you know that there's a 41-mile stretch of road, Texas 130, between I-45 near Austin and I-10 in Seguin. It has the posted speed limit of 85 miles an hour. That's the fastest speed limit in the United States.
Is that a fact?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
How about that?
Hmm. Huh.
Okay.
Didn't know that.
We, by the way, are in a prime location for two eclipses.
Well, let's stay on speed limit for a minute.
Okay. I thought you were
well,
done.
Well, no, I was just thinking about... I remember when we had the double nickel law, the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. Mm-hmm. Before that, there was no speed limit on some highways in Montana, by the way. Interstate highways had no speed limit in Montana. And they had a very low incidence of traffic accidents.
Didn't have very many people.
Well, maybe that was too. But so then under the Nixon administration, they brought in the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit in order to save energy, was their excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said, well, you know, you save much more gas by driving at 55 than you do at 65 or 75. I remember the economist Milton Friedman saying, well, if that's the case, you'd save a whole lot more gas if you drove at 25 or 15. Why don't we make that the national speed limit? So it's irrational, is what it boils down to. Okay.
Well, talk about speed limits. We were recently in London, and it just took forever to get anywhere. And I commented to the cab driver, I said, is this traffic normal? And he said, yeah, it's pretty normal. But he said, the reason it's so slow is because the speed limit is 20 miles an hour.
Wow.
Now, no matter how empty the roads are, the speed limit in town is, in the city, is 20 miles an hour.
Mm, okay. Also in London, you have to pay if you try to drive into the city of London, you have to pay a toll to drive into the city of London.
We found that somewhere on the east coast of the United States. Was it Newark? I think it was Newark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were in Philadelphia, and we thought, well, let's go to cross the river into New Jersey and just see what Camden looks like. And so we drove across the river and immediately decided we don't want to be in Camden. It's a scary place. Because you dropped right, once you crossed the bridge, you dropped right into downtown Camden, and it was early evening, and... Whoa. So we went around the block and got back on the bridge. And what we found out is to get into Camden, no toll. To get the hell out of Camden, you got to pay. Yeah.
Well, I started to talk about our location. We're at prime location for two eclipses. October 14th for the annular, what's called the Ring of Fire eclipse. And the total eclipse of the sun is April 8th of next year. And if you look at a map for both eclipses, we live in the hill country, are in the epicenter of the giant X that crosses the United States. And we're going to have a totality for both eclipses of 4.5 minutes. And that doesn't sound like much, but that's, at least for the total eclipse, that's the largest amount of time any place in the country. And in conjunction with this, on October 14th, Echo Hill is having a Gold Star Camp fundraiser at Echo Hill. And for a donation of $125, participants can view the Ring of Fire eclipse in the beautiful natural setting at Echo Hill.
We better explain what Echo Hill is.
It's a ranch. Oh, it's a ranch. And they it's been a kids' camp since the 50s at least. But just in the past few years, Marcy and Kinky Friedman have turned it into a camp for Gold Star kids. Kids of Gold Star officers and also first responders. And that's a child who's one of whose parents was killed in a conflict. And this is all volunteer for the kids, no charge to the kids. But so they're having a fundraiser at the ranch, and lunch will be served. You can swim and hike and feed horses. And you can make donations at the website, echohill.org. And there are also overnight passes are an option. And Echo Hill eclipse glasses are included.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to be a pilot for the total eclipse in October 2024. And again, that's echohill.org.
Hmm. Well, that's cool. So when is that going to be?
October 14th.
Okay. But you can get tickets now?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, you can go to the website and get tickets.
Echohill.org?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very cool. Cool. Well, I've got a story about... Got a story about Alice Cooper saying some very surprising things. I don't know if we do have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
We do? Okay. Well, can you find that hotkey for me, Allison?
No. Is there writing on both sides?
Well, there is. It's called JPGen, G-E-N.
Oh, okay.
Find it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I'll let you know when to play that.
Okay.
Well, rock legend Alice Cooper, who, as you probably know, did gender bending on stage. His name, he's a guy, he's not really named Alice Cooper. However, he thinks the obsession with transgenderism is a fad that's gotten so out of control it's now what he says is laughable. He was on some podcast and he said, quote, "I'm understanding that there are cases of transgender, but I'm afraid that's also a fad. And I'm afraid there are a lot of people claiming to be this just because they want to be that. I find it wrong when you've got a six-year-old kid who has no idea, he just wants to play, and you're confusing him, telling him, yeah, you're a boy, but you could be a girl if you want to be. I think that's so confusing to a kid. It's even confusing to a teenager." Alice Cooper went on and said, you're still trying to find your identity, and yet here's this thing going on saying, yeah, but you can be anything you want. You can be a cat if you want to be. I mean, if you identify as a tree," and I'm going, come on, what are we in, a Kurt Vonnegut novel that's gone now to the point of absurdity? And Alice Cooper, I did not know until I read the story, is a devout Christian.
I didn't know that either.
You wouldn't think. Who'd have thought, right?
Huh.
But he went on to say that the desire to respect others' gender nonconformity has gone too far. He says it's getting to the point now where it's laughable. If anybody's trying to make a point on this thing, they turned it into a huge comedy. I don't, again, quoting Alice Cooper, "I don't know one person that agrees with the woke things. I don't know one person. Everybody I talk to says, isn't it stupid? And I'm going, well, I respect people. I respect people and who they are, but I'm not going to tell a seven-year-old boy, go put a dress on because maybe you're a girl. And he's going, no, I'm not. I'm a boy. Cooper says that biological reality is a fact that cannot be rationalized away. He said, quote, "If you have these genitals, you're a boy. If you have those genitals, you're a girl." Well, that reminds me of our, I think we still have the clip of Mr. Roberts, all I can think of.
"I'm very much concerned, as I know you are, about what's being delivered to our children in this country.
Boys are boys from the beginning. Girls are girls right from the start. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine, your body's fancy, and so is mine. Because sometimes children think that they might change. They might have to change after a while. And, you know, we laugh about that now, but it's because we had that concern when we were little."
"Yeah, because you're really not sure. You thought maybe you'd become a girl, or a girl would become a boy, right?"
"Exactly.
Boys are boys from the beginning. Girls are girls right from the start. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, so is mine.
Yeah, that's Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers. An old clip, which would not be politically correct today, would it? But Alice Cooper went on to say that this trans situation will spiral out of control and women will get hurt in the process. He said, quote, a guy can walk into a woman's bathroom at any time and just say, hey, I feel like I'm a woman today. He's just taking advantage of that situation. But somebody's going to get raped and the guy's going to say, well, I felt like a girl that day and now I feel like a guy. I mean, where do you draw the line is what Alice Cooper says. And I'm glad to hear him say stuff like that. We got that clip. There's a man, all I know his name is JB. That's the only thing he goes by.
This is JP.
Yeah, you're right, JP.
Okay.
No, JB is Joe Biden. I know who that is.
Okay.
Now, this guy is named JP, and he does some very funny stuff. And here's his take on gender.
It breaks my heart to see people misgendered. Of course, what you internally identify as should be obvious enough to others that they should be able to observe it and verbally reflect it back to you to affirm who and what you think you are, so you don't have to affirm yourself. The purpose of other people is to be preoccupied with affirming me. While I obviously identify with my gender because it's a deep and fulfilling thing to identify with, I also identify with other things too. I identify with pronouns, nouns, verbs that represent my most recent action. I identify with my blood type, astrological chart, human design, and the level of antigenic response my immune system has to gluten. So just as common courtesy, I'd appreciate you addressing me as such each time you acknowledge me. I don't think that's too much to ask, and it's abusive not to.
Bring me sunshine.
Well, this is the Jive Aces, and we're Bill and Allison. We'll be right back right after this break.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the agenda to replace real food with insects and lab-grown meat. Is that a good idea? You want lab-grown meat?
There should be more.
That's what we'll talk about when we come back after this short break.
So much
enjoy the Jive Aces. Jiveaces.org.
To each brand new bright tomorrow, make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison. We promised you it was going to be a short break.
Why, that was a short break. Well, there's a award-winning journalist named Alex Newman who said some very interesting things about the effort by Bill Gates and other advocates of mass depopulation. If you don't believe that, it's very true. All you have to do is look it up. To deliberately collapse the food supply so people have no choice but to eat insects and lab-grown fake meat. So this is Alex Newman telling you some things you may not know about lab-grown meat.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture approved the first lab-grown meat to be sold to the public. This makes the U.S. the second country in the entire world to allow this, which, if you ask me, is two countries too many. Alex Newman joins me now to discuss this. Thank you so much for joining us, Alex. It's great to have you back.
Great to be here. Thanks so much, Allison.
Of course. So what's your reaction to this lab-grown meat? Are you at all surprised to hear this is coming to fruition, especially knowing people like Bill Gates and Richard Branson have invested in lab-grown meat companies?
I'm not surprised at all. In fact, this should have been very obvious a long time ago. Over 10 years ago now, I wrote an article warning that the United Nations was pushing exactly this kind of thing. In fact, if we can go back and read that article, it's called UN Let Them Eat Bugs. And if you look at their vision for the future of food, they want a radically transformed food system where basically small farmers, small ranchers do not exist anymore. Everything is controlled by huge corporations in bed with the government. And this lab-grown meat, these lab-grown chickens and other sources of alleged food, people need to be aware. This stuff is very dangerous. It is not nutritious like normal food is. We don't even know all the different chemicals, right? This stuff is not going to taste like real meat. It's not going to taste like a steak. And so what they're going to have to do is completely douse it in chemicals that will supposedly make it taste something remotely resembling food. And these chemicals are very, very dangerous. I don't think people realize the depths of depravity of some of the individuals pushing this stuff. I mean, Bill Gates has been a population control fanatic for longer than I've been alive. In fact, he comes from a population control fanatic family. His dad was on the board of Planned Parenthood. And so when you have people who are obsessed with the idea that there are too many of us promoting, I don't care if it's a medical intervention, I don't care if it's a new food source. Frankly, my default position is going to be I don't trust it. But knowing what we already know about these lab-grown meats and things, that everybody should be very weary. Frankly, I'm going to be avoiding this like the plague.
Eat the bugs. Eat the bugs. Eat the bugs. Eat the bugs.
You're stupid. Really, really stupid. You're stupid. Really, really stupid.
Yeah. Stupid to eat lab-grown meat or bugs. Yo. I noticed that a couple of stores I've seen little packages of crickets up at the cashier, and I said,
"Is that not for fishing?"
No, it's for eating.
Oh no!
I said, "Do people buy this?" Well, some people do. Really, really. I don't know. Got Joe Rogan coming up. Joe, he totally obliterated the climate change agenda. So here's a quick clip from Joe Rogan's podcast.
China produces more carbon than all the developed nations combined.
Which is very important to talk about when people are talking about going green, because the amount of impact that would happen, even if the United States went to zero carbon output, you're not going to put a dent in what's happening to the world, because most of it is coming from China and India.
India, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's most of it. So all this about don't eat meat because we're going to save the world, you're not saving jack shit. No. And I don't understand where that message is coming from or why there's not a nuanced perspective where people are taking into account all these other variables.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, no kidding. I thought that was very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What you got, Allison? Anything that you want to share with us this morning?
Well, here's a potential plot for Ocean's 14. If you don't recall, Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 12 is a gang of glamorous thieves who steal jewels and priceless artifacts. But anyway, the potential plot for Ocean's 14, a gang of thieves boosts floss and hand towels. This week, Dollar Tree joined a growing number of retailers blaming shrink or loss due to theft or damage for its unexpected drop in quarterly profits. Dick's, Target, Home Depot, and Walmart all said shoplifting or organized crime hacked away at their profits last quarter. In response, Dollar Tree has said it would put more items behind locks to deter scofflaws. That may foil thieves, but it's not popular with customers who want to buy their deodorant in peace. Locked cases can cause sales to drop as much as 25%, according to an anti-theft tech company. I mean, I've been in places, not in hill country, but in big cities where everything is locked up. And I, as a result, didn't buy anything.
Yeah, that's true. You know, everything. I mean, simple little, you know, $2-3 things are behind locked cases.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
In your smile.
Make me happy.
Make me happy.
All the while.
All the while.
In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy we can give to each brand new breath.
We're Bill and Allison. When we come back from this short break, which president killed a man who insulted him in a duel? You'll know in a couple of minutes.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriots. And you can hear us anytime, firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. We hadn't mentioned that earlier. It's true. Firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. You can download our podcasts there, which are our previous shows, and listen to them anytime you want. Firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. Well, before the break, I said, do you know which president killed a man who insulted him in a duel? Andrew Jackson. In 1806, he got into a dispute with a man who insulted his wife. And back then, dueling was approved of. If you were insulted, you can challenge someone to a duel. And Andrew Jackson probably killed a lot of people in duels. But we know this is one we know about. Charles Dickinson. And that was back in 1806. And this was long before he was president. But... a lot of people know about Alexander Hamilton, and he was killed by Aaron Burr in a duel. And Alexander Hamilton was challenged and shot. And that's the way they did. That's the way they rolled back then.
Well, they solved arguments.
That's correct. That's how they solved disputes. Just go out and shoot the guy. There was a lot of controversy over the, I'm relying on memory now, but there's a lot of controversy over the Aaron Burr Hamilton because I believe it was that Burr's gun misfired. And if a gun misfires in a duel, the duel is supposed to be stopped and that's the end of it. But Burr raised his gun and took another shot, which was totally verboten. But he did, and he killed Alexander Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton was not somebody you want to emulate politically for his views. He was a big government liberal, what we call big government liberal today. He believed in all sorts of stuff that unfortunately has come true and then in spades. But the founding of the country was basically a struggle between Hamiltonianism, big governmentism, and Jeffersonianism, small limited government. And we had small, limited government for many, many years in this country. And it was really the war between the states
the War of Northern Aggression.
that had changed this country fundamentally from a Jeffersonian small government to big government, Hamiltonian style. And that just accelerated through the years, and specifically... under Franklin Delano Roosevelt, really expanded, and then it continued to expand under subsequent presidents, particularly LBJ with his Great Society program, and on and on and on. Well, we have noted something that happened this week that's important to the Texas music industry. In 1990... Stevie Ray Vaughan passed away. You probably know him, or know of him, of course. American musician. He was best known as the guitarist and frontman of the blues rock trio Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble. Now, people don't know this, but his mainstream career spanned only 7 years. He's regarded as one of the most influential musicians in the history of blues music. Let's see. I remember reading some time ago, and who said this? Oh, Muddy Waters said that. Muddy Waters said he could have been the greatest guitarist of all time, but he got mixed up with drugs. You know, familiar story, right? But he certainly was one of the greatest guitarists of all time. Stevie Ray Vaughan. That's the Bill and Allison Mancaro Show tribute to Stevie Ray Vaughan, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, blues guitarist of all time. He passed away August 27 in 1990, and that's why we're recognizing him today. Mm-hmm. What you got, Allison?
Well, recently a federal judge in Florida tossed out a proposed class action suit alleging Kraft Heinz Company of falsely advertising that its shells and cheese bowls are ready in 3.5 minutes, saying that the customer continued to buy the product even after finding out the bowls take longer to prepare.
What kind of a lawyer would take a case like that?
Well, really.
It's crying out loud.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, it says 3.5 minutes. Maybe if you just have one in the microwave, it'll take 3.5 minutes. But if you stuff it full,
well, that's,
yes, it's going to take longer.
That too, and microwaves have different power levels.
Yeah.
So, exactly. You know, it might be 3.5 minutes in one microwave. It might be 4 in another or 3 in another. So that's absurd. Well, we're wrapping up here. Here's some events you need to know about. The Gillespie County Fair is continuing through tomorrow at the fairgrounds in Fredericksburg. Don't forget to go there. You go to gillespiefair.com. Fredericksburg Musical Evening Summer Concert Series will continue tomorrow at Market Plots. 39 Steps Play will be at the Hill Country Arts Foundation Indoor Theater in Kerrville. And that's the 39 Steps. Don't want to miss that. We plan to be there. Today is Family Free Day at the Museum of Western Art in Kerrville. Kerr County residents, it's free for you. So make sure you stop there. We are Bill and Allison, and we have enjoyed being with you. You catch us at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com for check out all of our past shows as well.
Mm-hmm. You can hear it there 24-7.
24-7. We love to be on the Hill Country Patriot, which is your information station, of course. Stay tuned for all of the great information you get. Yeah, you just have to stick with the Hill Country Patriot to really know what's going on in the world. So it's been our pleasure to be with you. We are with you, if we can still talk, between 8 and 10 every Saturday morning. And, of course, hillcountrypatriot.com. And firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not in your own understanding.